The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation.
WTBQ. Hi, and welcome to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and I thank you so much for joining us here today on your favorite radio station, WTBQ. And don't forget, we are not 93.5 FM, as well as our very faithful 1110 AM. And I hope you are doing great today. You know, it's February. Well, I don't have to tell you, we're almost out of February. It was a good month. It was certainly not a tough February here, but February is also Heart Month, Heart Awareness Month, and it's also the Red Dress Campaign. Go Red for Women. I bet you've all seen that. Those gorgeous women in those beautiful dresses, they're everywhere and they look so gorgeous. But they are there to do a little bit more than just look gorgeous. They are there to tell us about health and heart disease, really about heart disease, about women, for women, so that we understand that it is a killer of women as well as men. You know, most of us think it's kind of just an old guy's thing. You know, they dropped dead. Well, unfortunately, that is not true. And I hope it doesn't get you, but you never know. So the awareness is such an important thing. So Go Red for Women is such an important, important campaign that has been around, I think, 9 years now. And obviously, that's what we're going to talk about today. In a little bit, we're going to talk with Dr. Herbert Insel from EHE International. He's terrific. He's been with us before. He has actually, I think, in the last few years, have been with us every February, teaching us about heart awareness and the things we need to know, which is very important. So stay tuned for that, because all you women out there and all you men who are married to women need to know these facts. It is not a small thing. It is a very big thing. But first, I want to talk to a woman who knows this firsthand. She has had heart disease and she has had a stroke. And she's a young, beautiful, vibrant woman, because I've seen her picture in those gorgeous red dresses. And I want to welcome Angela Zamore to Shannon's Corner. How are you today, Angela?
I'm doing well, Shannon. How are you?
I'm terrific. Thank you so much for joining us.
And no problem.
You know, you, I know you're beautiful, as I said, because I saw picture. Well, I saw a gorgeous picture of you in that gorgeous red dress for the campaign. And you look so beautiful. You look the epitome of a healthy woman. But I know this, and you're going to tell the audience this, that wasn't always the case, although you have certainly come around now. At age 45, you had a stroke, and then a few years later, you had a heart attack when you were young, early 50s, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so this was obviously, you know, let me ask you the first question. Were you one of those women that never think a heart attack could have happened to you?
I never thought that it could happen, because I keep a healthy diet and everything. But then again, I thought about my family history. So I didn't expect it to happen at such a young age to begin with. And that's what surprised me, you know, because my mom passed away at age 54, and she had diabetes and heart disease, and she died of a brain aneurysm.
Oh.
Yes, and I lost a brother also to diabetes. I have a brother and a sister with heart conditions. So all those things add up to my life, and you know, I have to be concerned about that and take care of myself.
So those things are precursors to a heart disease, is what you're saying? If you have diabetes, I mean, they're obviously not the same thing, but they are a precursor to it?
Yes, yes.
So,
they contribute to that, right?
But you did not have diabetes, right?
No, I haven't been diagnosed with any of the, other than osteoporosis. That's the only thing right now, in my high blood pressure, which is a big factor to getting, you know, another stroke or heart, you know, or heart attack.
So that was a factor with you. You had high blood pressure. Were you aware of the high blood pressure?
No, I wasn't at the time that I had that, yes.
Oh, so you had a stroke first, and bless
you. It was a mild stroke, yes.
Yeah. Very. How did you know you had it? What were the symptoms?
I started feeling a little dizzy and kind of nauseous-like. And then I felt like everything was blacking out on me.
Oh, okay.
So then my husband was nearby, and I was making breakfast for them. My husband was nearby, and I told myself, I don't feel well. I just sit down. He said, sit down. I said, give me a little water. And from there, I just felt my left arm going numb, and I had shoulder pain, which is all the symptoms that contribute to a heart attack or you know, stroke. So I told him, I said, no, I don't feel well. And since I'm in the medical field, I realized these are not good feelings.
Not good
so
symptoms,
I told him, I said, please rush me to the hospital. So luckily, the hospital was just like 10 minutes away from my house. And then when I got there, they couldn't stop what I was having, even they try anything, the doctors around and everything, I can hear them, but I cannot see them.
Oh.
Because I even lost my, kind of, everything was blurry.
Wow, you lost your vision. So that, but yeah, that was a stroke, not a heart attack.
No, that was a mild heart attack I was, was diagnosed. The second time was a mild stroke.
Oh, I see.
Which I had almost the same symptoms, which I had a little bit of, I needed air.
Mm.
It's like I was enclosed. I just needed air.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
that was the second time.
Must have been very frightening, and obviously having no idea what happened. Were you on any medication at the time, like for high blood pressure?
First time, no, I wasn't. In no medications at all, no.
Yeah. And so
the
high blood pressure, how high was your blood pressure for those listening that think, geez, that maybe could be me?
Yes, it was 160 over 110.
And that does, is that very high? That doesn't.
Very high,
is
yes.
That very
because
high?
The normal it should be 120 over 80. That's the borderline.
Right. Yeah.
So for me, they told me I was not overweight. You know, I don't smoke, I don't drink. So it was very odd for them to have that blood pressure like that so high. So
right.
I feel like my head was pounding because of the blood pressure was high.
So that runs in your family. You know, most things, as most people know, are hereditary. So if your family has high blood pressure or maybe even high cholesterol, there's certain things. Certainly heart disease is a hereditary factor. Was there
right.
also high blood pressure in your family?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So all those things factored. So you're fine now, and obviously you don't have any leftover symptoms from it. What are you doing now that is so different than what you did before?
Okay. Since the last episode, which was in 2009, I believe 2010, I'm not pretty sure because I try to forget it sometimes. but since then, the doctor told me I need to lose a little weight, even though I wasn't overweight, so I lost 15 pounds.
Okay, good for you.
Start going to the gym a little more often. I go 5-6 days a week. Eat healthy. I get my rest. At nighttime when I get home, I get relaxed. Nobody's home. I get my rest, take my vitamins. And so far, it's been 2 years that nothing has happened.
Well, congratulations to you. So you are a great example for every woman out there. I mean, luckily you are here to tell this wonderful story, but it's a scary story at the same time. So, you know what, we're going to go and talk. First, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to tell the audience, and then we're going to go and talk to Dr. Insel.
Yeah.
Rich, is that good to take a quick break and then bring in Dr. Insel? We'll do that because I want everybody to understand that your story is hopefully not going to be one of theirs, but if it is, that there's something, a recovery and life on the other side of it. So although we know we need to be aware, it doesn't have to be a death sentence, but you do have to do certain things. Angela, I thank you so much for joining us today. You were very helpful to tell the audience this. I so appreciate it. Thank you very much. We have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about heart disease with Dr. Herbert Insel, and we're going to learn the signs and the things you need to know and what you can do to prevent it. So stay where you are, and we'll be back here in just a few on WTVQ.
Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state. Did you know that life insurance rates are near record lows? If you own life insurance or are thinking of buying any, why spend more than you have to? I'm Byron Udell, founder of AccuQuote. Since 1986, we've helped hundreds of thousands of people just like you save a fortune on their life insurance. Here's how we do it. We monitor the products offered by dozens of the most well-respected brand-name life insurance companies you trust so that you get the lowest rates. For example, a healthy 40-year-old can buy $500,000 of 10-year level term for less than $21 a month. 20 and 30-year rates are also available. And don't forget to ask us about the new term life plans that guarantee your money back even if you don't die. Take 5 minutes and call AccuQuote for your free quote at 800-500-3353. Find out how much you can save on your life insurance. Call AccuQuote today at 800-500-3353. That's 800-500-3353.
Would you like to learn to ski in just one day? Head to Mount Peter Ski Area in Warwick, New York. Mount Peter is better than ever with a new chairlift, more hill space, and a brand new lodge, the Sunrise Lodge. A perfect place to unwind after a full day of sun, skiing, snowboarding, and family fun. They've got the best snow and grooming in the region with free beginner lessons every weekend and holiday. Find out more at mtpeter.com, 986-4940. Mount Peter for family fun.
What you're about to hear is the real experience of women over 40 who finally lost weight, even around the stubborn belly area. How? By becoming hormonally balanced again. Their secret is the Amberen Slim After 40 program. Amberen is the revolutionary formula for women over 40 that balances hormones naturally. You see, the leading cause of weight gain over 40 is hormonal imbalance. Unless you balance your hormones, losing weight may be impossible. But the Amberen Slim After 40 program changes all of that. Amberen restores hormonal balance naturally. Plus, it dramatically boosts your cell metabolism, so the weight can just fall right off, even that stubborn belly fat. Plus, Amberen eliminates other symptoms of hormonal aging, like hot flashes, night sweats, low libido, difficulty concentrating, and more. Be one of the first 50 callers right now, and they'll send you a complimentary risk-free trial with a 30-day supply. Free. Call 1-800-970-5140. That's 1-800-970-5140. 1-800-970-5140.
All winter long, be sure your heating equipment is ready to kick into top gear and run efficiently with service from Suburban Propane. Suburban has been delivering warmth and comfort to homes and businesses for more than 80 years. Our local team of dedicated employees right here in the Hudson Valley works hard to continue that long tradition of warmth, safety, and reliability. Our customers take advantage of equipment and services that save money and add comfort. Suburban sells and services furnaces, boilers, water heaters, and space heaters. When you need an emergency repair, we are there 24/7, 365. For a limited time only, become a new Suburban Propane customer and receive a $50 credit toward your first fuel delivery, free installation to an existing gas line, a free safety check, and a free heating equipment service plan for 1 year. Get warm and keep warm this winter. Call Suburban Propane today at 1-800-PROPANE or go to suburbanpropane.com.
WTBQ. Hi, and welcome back to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and I thank you so much for joining us here today on your favorite radio station. And don't go anywhere. If you're just joining us now, we are talking about heart disease. We are talking about those gorgeous women in those beautiful red dresses. But they are there to not only be beautiful, but to remind you about heart healthiness, about how we need to pay attention to our heart, especially women, because we tend to ignore it and think it's a man's disease. And we were talking a little bit earlier about a woman who has gone through a relatively young woman who went through a mild heart attack and a stroke and what she's doing to prevent it. So there is life at the other end of it, because that's another kind of myth, I think, that we all think, that you definitely die when you get a heart attack. I want to welcome Dr. Herbert Insel to Shannon's Corner. He is a senior cardiologist at EHE International, which is a leader in preventive health care since 1913. Dr. Insel has been on with us before, teaching us about what we need to know about heart care and women's health. And you know, men too, but women have been so ignored for so long. So this whole, I think it's been 9 years, this Heart Healthy Wear Red movement has been around to teach us how important it is for women. And I want to welcome Dr. Insel to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
Fine, thank you, and thank you for having me. And it is true, it is 9 years. In fact, it's 2002 that it first... The red dress was created by the Heart Truth as the national symbol for women and heart disease awareness.
Mm-hmm. And it's been a very successful campaign, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. The studies have been done and surveys have been done that increased awareness has been successful not only amongst the women themselves, but more as importantly among healthcare providers who are the ones that have to beware of this to begin appropriate diagnosis and treatment.
Yeah, so all that attention really works. And of course, as I say, those women and now men are looking so gorgeous in those red dresses that it does get our attention. And it's certainly for a very important cause, maintaining a healthy heart. I mean, what are we without our heart? Obviously, we are not living, breathing human beings. But it has always been such a man's disease, one of those older men's disease. It's not even a younger man's disease. But over 500,000 women die a year of heart attacks, right?
Right. And it's quite a myth that it's a woman's disease, a man's disease. In fact, more women than men die each year of heart disease.
Wow.
Every single year. And there are an estimated 42 million American women that live today with known cardiovascular disease. Not only is the prevalence there, but more than the prognosis in women seems to be very often more adverse. More women than men die within 5 years of a heart attack, and more women than men die within 1 year of a heart attack.
Mm.
And more women than men heart attack survivors develop heart failure. So that's where prevention is key, absolutely key, because the prevalence is there, and it's behooving upon every individual, and especially the female, to do whatever they can in terms of their lifestyle and following up in their health care to prevent heart attacks, prevent heart disease.
Prevention is always key. I think to everything, prevention is key. But one of the first questions that comes to mind, if that many women are dying, was that always the case? I mean, how did it get to be such known as a man thing? Is it because women are living more masculine lives with more stress? Are we eating differently? Or was this always the case and just ignored?
Well, it was pretty much a lot ignored in the sense that most of the studies were done mostly with men rather than with women, so that it didn't come to our medical attention in that regard. But the facts are the facts, and the prevalence is there. Since 1984, more women than men have died each year from heart attacks. And not only that, this disparity seems to be increasing in that regard. So it's behooving, as I say, upon the woman to be cognizant of the warning symptoms of heart disease and following up and doing everything possible to prevent this from occurring. And the good news is that heart disease, to a large part, is preventable, and that comes with lifestyle modification as well as working with your healthcare provider in terms of modifying all the risk factors that that cause heart disease.
What are the most important symptoms that we should not ignore?
Well, there's the classic chest pain, of course, that you get upon exertion, but with females, sometimes it's more subtle. Sometimes there's some shortness of breath or unexplained fatigue, maybe some sweating, some nausea, maybe a little stomach ache, maybe a little back pain or jaw pain, something more subtle than the classical retrosternal chest pain going down to your left hand. And I find that in my experience, in my practice, a little bit of some shortness of breath or fatigue is the most common telltale concerning sign that I have that I start to investigate further if I'm aware of that for my female patients.
So, you know, I my mother called me about 2 weeks ago and very upset. She was sure she was going to die because she had a pain in her arm. It was the only thing she had, and she was sure it was a heart attack. And I said, I don't think that alone is enough to make you think you're having a heart attack. She wasn't. She just had strained her arm. But and she's not an alarmist, but she just felt that that was something. And I said, I think it has to be more than that. And I also thought that that was more of the arm was more of a man sign than a woman sign. Was I wrong?
Well, yes, in a way. No, you weren't wrong in the sense that usually it's the man is the one that has some of that chest pain and left arm pain. But still, the common things are common. That the average individual that does have just plain arm pain is probably not going to turn out to be the heart.
Yes.
So we do have to use our common sense about us. And usually, if you're having a heart-related incident at the time, it's more than just a discomfort. I mean, obviously, if there's lack of blood flow to the heart, there's other things going on, and you're just not well, and there's something else that you might feel. But there are a lot of questions to ask about the discomforts and to make sure that it's not heart-related. Obviously, if you press on the arm and it hurts, then you know it's certainly not going to be the heart.
Mm.
Or if you raise the arm in a certain way, you know it's not the heart. But certainly, obviously, we're always thinking of that. I'm glad that she's thinking of the heart.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got to find the right balance of being concerned about that heart disease and being aware of its presence and the symptoms involved, but yet we can't live our daily life of being so neurotic about it and so scared about it that our stress levels will lead to heart problems.
Right, no, that's true.
Know,
I mean, there has to be a nice balance,
good,
yeah.
But worrying, you know,
is bad.
Too much.
Yeah, is bad. Now, what's people, I mean, you know, we often hear about good fat, bad fat, carbohydrates, exercise, low blood pressure, all these things to stay healthy. What is it that contributes to heart attacks and heart failure? If you have high blood pressure, are you instantly prone to having a heart attack?
Well, all risk factors are equally important in terms of preventing heart disease and causing heart attacks. The major risk factors are high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, and cigarette smoking, and each one of them is as important as the next. But as important as those four major risk factors are the other four, which are your weight, your quality of food, your diet, your activity levels, and your mental well-being. I call these the great eight. These are the eight risk factors that are modifiable as opposed to age, genetics, and gender. I mean, we can't modify that. Well, let's leave that out. We can't really modify that, but the other eight risk factors we can modify. Those are the important risk factors we all need to be careful about. And they're all modifiable. They're all modifiable with lifestyle as well as the good care of your health care provider that could add the pharmacological therapy as necessary. But yes, anytime you have any one of these risk factors, especially hypertension or hyperlipidemia or diabetes, smoke cigarettes, you increase your risk for heart attacks and strokes. These factors need to be taken into account.
Can you have a heart attack if you have low blood pressure? If you've always had low blood pressure, I mean, can they sneak
Absolutely.
Up?
Absolutely,
you can.
Of course, because again, studies have been done to show that if you modify any one risk factor, there's a limit to how much you can modify your risk for heart disease, and that is because there are others risk factors involved. So, just because you have great blood pressure. Doesn't mean that your cholesterol could be an issue, your blood sugar could be an issue. There are other factors. Mm. So the presence of any one risk factor increases your risk, and it needs to be appropriately dealt with.
So as women, and as men too, but certainly as women, we should not ignore these things. I mean, I was told once, because I always have low blood pressure, that I'll never have a heart attack, but you're basically telling me that I shouldn't be so sure about that, because there are other factors that contribute. So we need to pay attention to how we eat, how we exercise, our weight, all the things that really keep us as healthy individuals, and go get checkups often, right? So that we can see things before they come?
Right. I can't stress how important what you just said is, and that is that the lifestyle is so important. Again, studies have shown that if you modify a risk factor such as hypertension or hyperlipidemia, high cholesterol, you can modify your risk of heart disease by a certain amount, but you can't eliminate it. You can't reduce it significantly. It's just one risk factor, but all the studies have been done when you have the prudent lifestyle, when you actually modify your diet, your activity levels, and all those factors, you can reduce your risk of heart attacks by 80 to 90%.
Well,
and that's why I love the work that EHE does. It's a very, very very preventive mentality in terms of looking at the individual, not just in terms of a blood pressure or cholesterol, but actually as a total individual, and looking at all the risk factors and advising them on the importance and necessity of a prudent lifestyle, and explain to them that a lot of it is in the individual's hand, and heart disease is preventable if the individual gets the right message and becomes motivated to take their heart health seriously and to lead a lifestyle that would be preventative in that regard.
One of the things that's not in our hands, though, is our genetics. So if it's prone in our lifestyle, in our family, are we more prone to these things too? Should we be a little more aware if someone in our family died of a heart attack at a young age?
Yes, and in fact, just today, I was reading all these articles. It stresses again that family history is important, and your genetics are important. So the message I want to give is that, yes, family history is important. Know your family history. Know your risk. Genetics are there. But, again, studies have clearly indicated that your modification of your environment can offset your genetic tendency. So that if you have the risk factor, the genetic tendency or family history of heart disease, you're the one that should be even more concerned and cautious about following up with your healthcare provider and modifying your risk factors and leading a prudent lifestyle. So, yes, your age, gender, and your family history and genetics are important. But your environment can save you.
They're important, but they're not necessarily a death sentence.
What we know now
is a lot more than they knew then.
Of course.
Yeah.
We now know the mechanisms of how the lifestyle actually works to keep the arteries healthier, how the lifestyle prevents plaque growth, and more importantly, prevents the tendency for plaques to rupture, which is the cause of the heart attacks and the strokes. So lifestyle, not only does it help modify your risk factors for heart disease, but also independently have direct actions on the blood vessels to make them healthier and interfere with that plaque growth and plaque rupture tendencies.
Okay, and you know what you said earlier is so true. Prevention, I think, in everything, prevention is so important. To you know what we can do beforehand, so we don't get to a point where something's going to happen to us, is so key. And then I'm so glad to hear that people talking more and more about prevention. Could you give us the website for EHE?
It's EHEINTL.com.
Great.
A lot of great information there on preventive well-being and more information about what the EHE offers. And again, prevention is key. And I think that's where healthcare is going in the direction it's going today.
Which is great.
In terms of the cost of the expense of healthcare and disease, prevention can solve a lot of healthcare problems, and that's the platform where EHE excels in.
That's a great place for us to be as a society, and it's a great place to have EHE doing that, because I just think that is, as you know better than I, so wonderful. We have to wrap it up today. But everybody, all of that information is on Shannon's Corner through WTBQ. You can definitely get it right there. We have a hot link to EHE International. I want to thank Dr. Herbert Insel for joining us today. He's a senior cardiologist at EHE International. And again, that's about your heart and the Red Dress campaign. Wonderful campaign. Be heart healthy. It is so important. I want to thank everybody for joining us today and thank Dr. Insel. And we have to wrap it up, as I said. Until next time, don't forget to make good choices.